Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 57 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in today's podcast, we will be talking about steadfastness, part 4. We'll be continuing our series on steadfastness. This will actually be the final part of this 4-part series. So we've talked about what it means to be steadfast. We've talked about why it's important to be steadfast. In the 3rd part of this series, we talked about areas of your life where you need to be steadfast. In this 4th part of the series, we're going to continue areas of your life where you should be steadfast. We have a few more points and we'll be done. So, what is the next area where you should be steadfast? That's going to be in the gathering of saints. So, if you look at the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, right? It talks about how the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. If you even look at the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, right? He says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." The thing is, why is the gathering of saints? Why should you be steadfast in the gathering of saints? The thing is, when we do things in groups, we're more likely to be successful. There's a part of the Bible, I believe it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, that says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Because again, if you confront an enemy and you're just one person, that enemy just has to focus on you. But if you confront an enemy and there's two or three of you, that enemy has to win the battle on multiple fronts. So I love the second reading I had where he said that, you know, provoke each other. There's like this Bible verse, provoke each other unto good works, right? The thing is, when you're with other people that are believers, that are Christians, you get provoked to do God's will, right? Because when you're in a group of Christians, especially true Christians, you see their lives. You see how they obey God. You see how they do His will. You see how they keep His commandments. When you see all those things, there's almost like a positive peer pressure on you to do what is right. So it's very important as a child of God to gather with other believers. Because the thing is, many times when the devil wants to destroy a person, he likes to isolate them, right? Like many times you see some people that unfortunately they end up committing suicide. They don't speak to anybody anymore. They stop hanging out with their friends, right? Again, there is joy and there is wisdom in community. Because at the end of the day, serving God is not an easy task. We thank God for His grace. But one supports, the Church of God is almost like a support system for His children, right? To just keep you stirred up, doing God's will, obeying His commands, instead of going it alone, right? Because if you notice, with COVID, there's been a lot of church programs and churches that have stopped, right? So it requires more personal effort for you to engage with other believers. Even if you're engaging with them through Zoom, right? Or something, but engaging with other believers is always very productive. A person that grows in the kingdom of God is a person that engages with other believers. Now, what is another thing you're supposed to be steadfast in? That's in the study of the Word of God, right? That's the study of the Word of God. He says, you know, there's this part of the Bible in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, right? John 8, 31 to 32, right? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." If you continue, that means you're being steadfast in the Word, right? "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The thing is, it's very important to be steadfast in the Word of God. Because the Word of God will teach you truth. It will teach you truth. And the thing is, when you know the truth, I love what the Bible says. Many people say, "You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free." No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free." Like literally, once you have that correct information, by default, you're already free. It will make you free. Right? The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge," right? The thing is, many people, the thing that's going to break them out of the rut they're living in life is just having the right information, right? Or having the right information that then controls their thoughts. Because many people just think so bad of themselves. They think they're the worst in the world. They think they can never make anything good of their lives. They think that they're going to end up in the ditch of life, right? But when they find out the truth, they find out that Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. Jesus came to set them free. Jesus has great plans for their future, right? Again, just that knowing that truth, some people, just from hearing those words from a person that ministers to their needs, is the thing that completely sets them free, right? That makes them free, right? So again, the thing is, the devil is a very powerful tool of the devil these days. He doesn't want you to read the word of God, right? He doesn't want you to be steadfast in the word of God. You see many Christians these days, they read the Bible like once a week or once a month. The thing is, the word of God is spiritual food. If, for example, you have a newborn and you don't feed that newborn is going to get hungry quick. It's not going to develop. It's not going to grow. I mean, whenever you go to the pediatrician, if you have a child, they check the child's weight just to make sure the child is developing appropriately, right? So not having believers, having Christians that are not steadfast in the study of the word of God is a very powerful tool of the enemy these days, right? The thing is, again, the devil does not mind if you go through the motions of Christianity as long as you are not steadfast, right? He knows that if you're not steadfast in the study of the word of God and in obedience to the word of God, you will not be fruitful, right? You will not be fruitful, right? You will not be fruitful, right? The thing is, you'll be essentially like a cold Christian, right? You'll be on the same level. You're never moving forward. You're never making progress, right? And the thing is, when you know the word, you need to spend time obeying it, right? Again, when the building of your life will be steadfast, you'll be stable. Remember, steadfastness means stability, right? The building that is your life will be steadfast, it will be stable if you actually work in obedience, right? A steadfast person has a solid foundation. If you look at the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, right? Where it says, you know, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. But it didn't fall, for it was founded upon a rock. It was founded on a steadfast, stable structure, right? But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, so these are people that hear God's word, and doeth them not, so they don't obey it, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it, right? Great was the fall of it. Again, these two people got exposed to the exact same conditions of life. They got exposed to rain. They got exposed to floods. They got exposed to winds. But one structure held up, the steadfast structure of the person that knew God's word, heard it, and put it into practice. The structure that failed and fell down was the person that heard God's word, right? Because the thing is, the fact that you're a hearer of God's word does not mean you're a doer, right? The second person heard the word of God, but was not a doer. So the word, he was not steadfast in obeying the word of God. So he was steadfast in hearing, but he was not steadfast in obeying. So he did not get the reward, right? And the thing is, when you neglect the word of God, there are consequences, right? There are consequences. If you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, right? He says, you know, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying that there are going to be consequences for those that don't obey the word of God, right? Every transgression, every disobedience, there's going to be a just recompense of reward. There's going to be consequences, right? And also when you obey God, there's going to be benefits, right? Although you can be saved from those consequences if you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you continue in doing his will. You're steadfast in obeying his commandments. And I'll give you an opportunity at the end of this podcast. Right. So now what is the next area of your life where you should be steadfast? That should be in your speech. Right. If you look at the book of James chapter 1, verse 19, many of us know this, you know, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and be slow to wrath. right? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, right? You have one mouth, but you have two ears. Spend more time listening than speaking. The thing is, you'll learn a lot more in life if you're more of a listener than a speaker. That is one thing that many people do not understand. You need to be steadfast in speech, right? In keeping quiet. You need to be steadfast in the quality of your speech. When you speak, what in the world are you saying? Are you saying things that will edify people? Are you saying things that will pull people down? Again, the ball is in your court. The decision is yours. What are you going to do with your speech? And then the final area of your life, this is a more general one, where you need to be steadfast, is in the things that God has committed into your hands, right? Your faith, your relationship with God. You need to be steadfast. Again, the Bible says that is he that endures to the end that will be saved, not the person that endures to the middle, right? You need to be steadfast all the way with Christ to the end and be saved. Again, the fact that a person has given their lives to Christ does not mean they're going to heaven, right? They need to work out their salvation with fear and trembling to make heaven, right? In your ministry, again, the things God has committed into your hands in ministry, are you an usher in your church? Are you a preacher in your church? Are you a teacher in your church? Again, you need to be faithful and committed in those things, right? In your marriage, you need to be steadfast, right? Again, there is no marriage that does not come without challenges. No, right? Marriage comes with challenges. Any good relationship will have challenges, right? Even in our relationship with God, there are challenges that arise, right? But again, challenges are there to teach you certain lessons. They're not there for you to throw in the towel on your marriage, right? So again, there's no marriage that doesn't have challenges, right? But those challenges, if you handle them constructively, that marriage can grow in the end, right? Be faithful in your business. Is there a business that God has placed in your hands? Be faithful in that thing. Be committed in that thing, right? In your career, be steadfast, right? Be a good worker. We live in a culture now, unfortunately, where people either don't want to work or they want to work the least. They want to put in the minimum effort possible, right? I mean, like, if you go to many customer service situations or whatever, you know, people just give you really bad service, right? Again, be steadfast. The thing is, even if man may not be seeing your steadfastness, your faithfulness, your commitment, God is seeing it. And I'm telling you, God always rewards steadfastness, right? And also in the management of your finances, be steadfast, right? These are all things God has committed into your hands. As a parent, right? Again, I've had podcasts on parenting. You can go back and listen to those. But as a parent, you need to be steadfast. Your children are not burdensome to you. No. God, your children are actually a blessing from God, right? The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. Heritage means inheritance. Literally, children are one of your inheritances from God. The fruit of the womb is his reward. God is rewarding you by giving you kids. You cannot neglect those kids. You need to be steadfast in training them, right? When a child is born and, you know, you're starting off training them, it may look like an insurmountable task. It may look like something that, wow, it's not possible. But many people have done it and done it successfully. And I promise you, if you raise your children to be godly, responsible adults, they will bless you in your old age. That's one. And two, you'll be very happy, right? That you've put forth a good, well-adjusted individual into society, right? So again, be steadfast, right? Be patient in being a good steward of those things that God has committed into your hands, right? Again, remember the parable of the talents, right? Two people were steadfast with the talents that were given unto them. One was not. We know who got the reward in the end, right? So again, I will encourage you, be steadfast. So now again, the first commitment that you want to make and be steadfast in is a relationship with God. Again, God loves you. It doesn't matter what your past is. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you on the cross to set you free. So if you want to take that next step today of surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to invite you to say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you came to the world. You died on the cross. You shed your blood. And you rose again on the third day to give me life. Cleanse me of all my sins. Come and be my Lord and my personal Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you just said that prayer, congratulations. You're a child of God. I will encourage you, find the Bible. Good place to start is the book of John. Find the translation you'll understand. The King James Version, you know, I kind of like that one. But to be honest with you, if you're a person that is not really familiar with a lot of these Old Testament, like just the way like the King James Version is constructed in terms of its words, I would encourage you to try like the New International Version, NIV, or the New Living Translation, NLT. Start from the book of John. Again, just read the Bible. Be steadfast in reading the Bible, right? The Bible don't make you collect dust in your home. Read the Bible, do what it says, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then also, seek community with other believers. Find a Bible-believing church. Notice I did not just say church. I said Bible-believing church, right? Find a Bible-believing church, right? I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God, but there are many other wonderful churches all over the world, right? Find a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, but they preach heresy. They don't go in consonance with the word of God. So find the Bible-believing church. Seek community with other believers. Be steadfast in obeying God and in doing his will. And your life will keep getting better and better every day. There will be challenges, but you'll surmount those challenges and there'll be stepping stones to your destiny. So thank you for listening to me. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. Thank you.